Okay, we've been talking about, we want to get off this subject, but yet it's so important, about the world system and John telling us not to love the world, the things that are in the world, because they all consist of philosophies that are against the Word of God. It's under the control of Satan himself. You don't believe me? We have to turn to Revelation. That's give us about Satan and how he is deceived, and that's in Revelation 12. Revelation 12, 7, starting there. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives, listen to this, the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So it's Satan who deceives this world. His philosophies are against what God has said or what God is saying. And he does it through the world system. Now, we talked about the world system, which was the lust of the flesh. We talked about that. And this is how Satan will tempt us through these things. They get us to sin against our Savior, to ruin our testimony for Him, thereby destroying the cause of Christ that is working through us. He wants to get at His children. So it's the lust of the eyes, or excuse me, the lust of the flesh that was first mentioned. And we talked about that, and we will not go back there right now. But the lust of the eyes, we did not complete those. So we want to talk a little bit about the lust, finish up on the lust of the eyes. Jesus says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from you." Now, he was not literally saying that you have to pluck your eye out if it offends you. But what he's talking about is the seriousness of what you watch. It's a serious offense, not only to yourself, but to God. Jesus said that in the light of the body is the eye. If therefore in thine eye be single, thy body shall be full of light. And it's talking about single, it's talking about focusing on him. The heart and the mind are accessed by the eye gate. It does matter what you look at, believers. Lustful thoughts are incited by what we watch. Immodest dress, impure books, movies, plays, pictures capitalize on our moral choices, and there are plenty examples of this in Scripture. It was written in Genesis when Eve was tempted by the serpent. It says that she saw that there was good for that the fruit was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes. So it first entered through her eye that she saw that it was good for food, and then the sheath she did eat. King David's example of his adulterous affair with Bathsheba began with his eyes, because it says, "And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from that roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was beautiful to look on." He first of all saw before he committed the act. Now, believers, we can't help but to see in this wicked world the things that allure us. But we can react in a godly manner. We do not have to entertain the issue. And it's more so, I believe, in the social media. I can be scrolling through TikTok, and all of a sudden, whammo, it's right there, it's in your face. So what do we do? Do we turn away from it, or do we proceed to look? So we don't have to entertain the issue. Separate yourself from the offense. Get out, run. God will bless you in taking a stand for him. Let our eyes wander into sin. will kill our spiritual life. And we read of that in Romans chapter 8. God's prohibition in the Ten Commandments, especially verse 17 of chapter 20, says, "Thou shalt not covet." But that begins with the eyes. And the Bible says we're to flee those youthful lusts. Excuse me. Satan even used a tactic with our Savior because he has worked so well with others in the past. He thought it would be successful on Jesus. It says, "And the devil took Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Look here, Jesus," he's saying. "See all these? See their glory?" That's where it begins. Because what it does, he says, "I can have all of this," he would say to someone. And that leads me to my next point. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, which can lead to the pride of life. And this is regarded by many as the basis of all sin, is pride. This is the desire to be somebody, is what led to Satan's downfall. And there's a passage, you want to look in Isaiah, in chapter 14. You all may know this passage, but look at it. Isaiah 14, this is considered by theologians to be Satan's downfall, his great sin that got him cast out of God's place, God's heaven. Five times in this passage in Isaiah 14, Satan said something, and you can pick it up. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Five times you'll read the phrase, and you read it just as well as I did. I will. Satan had an eye problem. It was his pride. The Bible has so much to say about pride, or what the King James calls vainglory. In choosing elders for the church, Paul told Timothy this: he is not to be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the same temptation as the devil. I see this many times in the Christian church, that somebody who has become a Christian, only a Christian for a few months, is put in the place of leadership. And that's not to be, because they become lifted up with pride. It's an easy, it's a subtle thing. Pride can sneak into your life or sneak into our lives and lead to our downfall. When Satan tempted Eve in the garden, he used the very same tactic. The serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God knows that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You shall be as gods. And man's attempting to be his own God ever since, my friends. He certainly has. Man wants to be his own God. He's going to live his own life. The world brags about their status and their accomplishments, their athletic prowess, their educational degrees, their jobs. They purchase expensive items, luxurious homes. But I want to know that these things are not inherently evil, but the enemy uses them to puff someone up. And what pride does, it makes you look down on others. So what's the opposite of pride, you may ask? Well, it's humility. It is the spirit that our Savior possessed. It is a spiritual quality that only the Holy Spirit can give. So pride really is the thread that runs through it all. Most all of mankind's achievements are tainted with selfishness and pride. Listen to what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, especially verses 16 through 18 of Matthew chapter 6. And let me turn there. In verses 1 through 7, Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men." Listen to how he makes reference to pride all the time. "To be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward." Christian, if you're doing things out of to be seen of men, which is a prideful attitude, you have no reward. "Or your reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do these alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may glory of men. Verily or truly, I say unto you, they have their reward already. But when you do alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, thou shalt be not as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." I got a lot to say about those passages, you know, because I see and hear a lot of opposite from believers. And this pride is where Satan is good at. Like I said, it was in the garden. He used it on Eve. He tried to use it on the Savior. And it seems to work on believers today. And it's very subtle. It comes in through the back door. We boast when we don't think we're boasting. This is why we have to be strong in the Lord, and we're learning from Him. We're being obedient to the Spirit, learning what our weaknesses are and how we can correct those. And this pride is absolutely destroyed a lot of believers and their testimonies for Christ. Sometimes we like to brag about how much money we gave to the church, or we gave to this cause, or we gave to that cause. If you're giving money, that's alms. If you're giving a money, try something different. Try this. Give your money, if you're giving to some organizations, give your money and don't say a word to anybody. This is a tough thing to do. Can we kind of secretly, in our old nature, we want somebody to slap us on the back? But next time, don't say a word. Don't brag of your accomplishments. Let somebody else brag about you, but don't you brag about what you've done. I'm just reading my scriptures here, folks. If you do your alms, do them in secret. When you pray, and I heard so many Christians with these long prayers, and they, you ever hear somebody put it, speak in their prayer language and say, "Boy, is that the same person I've heard talk for years?" And they go on and on and on and on. Like, are we trying to impress someone? No, I for one, believers, I do not believe in long prayers. I do not. I believe in public prayers. You pray for specific things and let it be those specific things. If you have a long prayer, lock yourself in your closet and pray to your Father in secret. I know people in my town that have given millions of dollars for good causes, earthly causes. You know what? They got to have their name on every building, on every brochure, that they belong to the Gold Club or whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about. Christians have no part in this, please. And then saying have no part in supporting your community, but have no part in having your name published or plastered all over the place. That's a sign that we're very proud people. We don't want to be that way. We want to live in humility like the Savior did. Lest we become like giving in to the devil. We can become like the devil. That we are puffed up with pride. Then it goes on to talk about fasting. Moreover, when you fast, verse 16, be not as the hypocrites. We don't want to be hypocrites, do we? Of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and they may appear unto men to fast. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint thy head and wash your face. In other words, don't appear your fasting to others. It says that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which sees in secret, shall reward thee openly. So you get the idea, don't you? I probably say so much for this. And this is the way we're supposed to be. Is what the attitude of Jesus is like. And if you allow me to flip through the scriptures again, into the book of Philippians, if you'd like to turn there with me, in chapter 2, when we're telling to talk about what the mind of Christ is, not the mind of the world. The mind of the world says this, and this is what the pride of life is about, what John is talking about. It says, be proud of who you are. Be proud of your accomplishments. Look out for old number one. That's what the world says. And you see that Jesus says, don't be like the world. Follow me. Here's what he says. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, Philippians 2, and we're going to end with this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So we want to think the way he's thinking. We want to think in order to do. So you're going to be doers of the word. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God in the flesh. So how did he act? He act like God on the earth? No. Look what he did. But he made himself of no reputation. You care about your reputation all the time? If you do, it's a sign that you are a prideful person. And he took upon himself the form of a, here's what we're supposed to be, a servant. And a servant requires humility. Pride will not make us a servant. Who is made in the likeness of a man. So he was teaching us. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. This is the mind that we are to be. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, that he was found in the fashion of a man. He humbled himself and he became obedient. Unto death. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Humble yourselves and be obedient unto death. Strengthen yourself in the Lord and the power of his might. Listen to what it says in verse 9. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. You know that one day God will exalt you in heaven. You may not get exalted here on the earth. You may see others being rewarded for this and for that, and you become kind of discouraged and say, I've served Christ for so many years and I've done this, and I've never got recognized. Brothers and sisters, one day God will recognize you before the Father. Pass along. Glad to be with you today. Amen.